say Mallorca, and you say Majorca. I say
Majorca,
and you say
Mallorca.
Mallorca, Majorca, Mallorca, Majorca. Let's call the whole thing off.
It doesn't have the same effect as a wine glass.
What a ting of a wine glass, is it? Mugs of tea all round tonight.
Tea time.
Why didn't we open the wine?
Because I'm on a diet.
Why did I not open the wine?
I don't know. That's your
I haven't got an independent thought in my head.
You have two thumbs of your own. You could have done it yourself.
No fun drinking on your own. I don't know. I've never tried.
I don't know. That's such a lie. You drink on your own all the time.
Because you got a bed at 6:30.
Rock and roll, everybody.
It's the Mallorca Mallorca podcast. And actually, I do know which episode this is. I think, anyway. It's number 7.
Yes, well done. Episode 7.
Of the Mallorca podcast. I'm Oliver Nielsen.
And I'm still Vicky McLeod.
Awesome.
We don't have Gigi with us this time, but at the moment, we don't have Auntie Nelly.
No.
Listen. Nothing. There's no panting. There's no mopeds.
This may be famous last words.
Yes.
But it's lovely and quiet.
Very quiet.
Very quiet. The island has gone awfully quiet, apart from this week, actually. Well, at the end of last week, actually, when we had the mother of all baby tornadoes.
Oh, my goodness. It was a twist. I was in it, in Espoirlés. It was really exciting. There was lumps of ice coming out of the sky, the size of... I don't know. The size of a Cadbury's cream egg.
There you go.
They were huge.
If you've never lived in Mallorca... you don't know that basically the summer ends by getting really, really hot, really, really humid, and then bang,
kaboom.
One go, something big happens, big storm somewhere, giant hailstones cracking people's sunroofs and, you know, breaking windows and stuff. And then it drops 5 degrees and it's gorgeous. But it was pretty serious, this one, actually. I got to see it firsthand. It really took apart, in a very serious way, a bit of the Tramontana Mountains, particularly Port Canonge. And
where's that?
Port Canonge is on the Tramontana coast. It's a very steep little village.
Yeah, but which bit of Mallorca?
It's between Espoirlés and sort of Valdemossa, on the coast, on the west coast, the mountainous coast.
Yes.
So it's a tiny little village, and to get there, you have to drive down the most perilous little road full of hairpins, tiny narrow road to get down to this little resort, not even a resort really, it's a little village full of holiday homes mostly, and down a steep, beautiful valley full of lots and lots of little trees. And this twister came through and took probably about 95% of the trees in its path were broken.
Wow.
Halfway up.
I mean,
every pine trees and oak trees.
Wow.
And it was...
And the houses?
It's a very sparsely populated area. The houses that were in the way got totaled, more or less, but really not very many of them. It went past Richard Branson's house. I'm not sure he got any damage, but he couldn't get through his driveway for fallen trees and TV crews. He wanted to.
That's always what you need.
Exactly. And it went over the hill, if you know the area there. It went up through the valley, I think, Port Canonge, and then back down towards Banyalbufar, or maybe the other way around, actually. It certainly went up and over.
It was
one
very intense.
It was amazing.
And very quick.
It's called a Cap du Fiblo.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've no What's doubt mullered. It means the head of the stingray.
Oh, okay.
Literal translation. I think it's a Catalan or Mayakin word for these sort of mini tornadoes. The path of destruction was about 200 metres wide maximum. Either side of it were a few trees down, but it was just like someone had taken a giant plough and taken it through the forest.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Poor trees.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you can rebuild a house and people will have to do that, but the trees are going to take a while. It's
The fire a few years ago.
Yeah.
That was terrible as well.
Because it's when the trees come down, you can't leave dead trees because they get dangerous. So you have to take the trees down. And then you have to be careful once you've taken the trees down that the roots die and the slopes become unstable. So it's a big job. So it's, we shall see. But it was quite something. And mercifully nobody was hurt.
Yeah, that's the really amazing thing.
I'm no meteorologist, but it came within a couple of hundred metres of the village of Banyalbufar on the coast. And if it had gone through that, if it was possible to go through that, I'm sure things could have been a bunch worse. So some people ducked a bullet.
Swerved a thing.
Ducked a swerve. Some people weren't so lucky, though. But nobody hurts.
Good.
And that's it. That summer is... Well, it's the beginning of the end of summer in more than one way, actually.
Well, it's effectively the end of the tourist season. There's no tourists here because of the quarantines anymore. And that's it for the summer season from that point of view.
Seems to be, doesn't it? Everyone's kind of thrown in the towel on this year as their markets, whether they're entertaining the Germans or the Brits or the Swiss or whoever, all of those countries have added quarantines in one way or another to when people return back to their home countries. And that's pretty much killed it, hasn't it, really? Mm. So, I mean, a couple of hotels already shut, or quite a few hotels shut a couple of weeks ago. And there's not a great deal left.
The good thing is that the Spanish seem to have discovered, the Mallorquins seem to have discovered the beaches.
Yeah, they have, actually. And I think not just the Mallorquins, but also the Spanish, actually. It's funny, this summer, when you're on the beaches or in the restaurants, the overwhelming language that you hear is Spanish, which is great.
It's really fab.
Spain and sounds like it's... But I'm not talking about just in Magaluf or places like that, not really go there very much. But, you know, in the sort of less touristy bits, if you like, it's, I think there's probably a combination of things, actually. A lot of Spaniards from the peninsula are having staycations. Instead of going abroad, they're coming to Mallorca, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think a lot of Mallorquins, local residents here, perhaps have got a bit more time on their hands if they're unemployed or, you know, their businesses are not opening as much as they used to.
The beach is free.
The beach is free, and it's as gorgeous as it's ever been.
So actually. Nice.
There was a bit in The Guardian, actually, today. I think they wrote about the Spaniards rediscovering their coastlines, actually.
A bit like the Brits going to Cornwall.
Very much so, yeah. But actually, there was an interview with a few local Mallorquins who were actually discovering the beach in Magaluf for the first time. You know, it's actually
a nice beach.
We did an episode about Magaluf about 4 episodes ago, didn't we? But it is a beautiful beach and the sea is gorgeous there. So, and it's deathly quiet, actually.
Poor Mega.
Mm-hmm.
Poor everywhere.
I was going to say it'll come back, but we'll find out, won't we? Poor everywhere.
It's like the 2008 financial crash again. With extra jeopardy.
Yeah, only much bigger, I have to say. All the forecasts are, you know, economies will fall further and stay falling for longer.
Mm. I don't think we'll go back into lockdown.
The Spanish government said that they wouldn't, actually, could get this right, they wouldn't impose a state of emergency again.
Even though the COVID rate is pretty much back up there, isn't it?
No.
All right.
The rate of infections is quite high, and getting back to close to what it was, the rate of people dying from it is much, much lower.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, if you were talking, the peak. Well, I'll come to that in a second. My theory, anyway.
Oh, okay. But
if you remember back in the dark days, we were talking about death rates of 800, 900 to 1,000 a day.
Oh, yes.
It's nowhere near that now. And I think probably now, because they're testing a lot more. So, you know, you got a test the other week.
I didn't
have any symptoms. It was a random test. So if you're testing people who don't have symptoms, there's going to be you're going to have a higher number of cases. If you're testing more people, you'll have a lot more cases.
Mm.
But also, it doesn't follow that everyone you test has got it, if that makes any sense. And there's also kinds of theories all over the place about people building immunity to it and all kinds of stuff. But so the number of people who have it are high, the number of people who are dying from it aren't anywhere near as high, but you can't take anything for granted now. So heavy restrictions everywhere, masks are the order of the day, and bars are back down to 50%
masks.
I know, and the hotels are shut, so we shall just have to see what comes our way, really.
The next thing is the kids going back to school.
You're saying something about not having motorbikes?
Yeah.
There's one.
Do you think I should shut the window?
No.
The kids are all going back to school. Some kids have already gone back. No, some smaller schools, definitely. Some kids have already gone back. Like there's a private French school I know about called Lycée Français. The Swedish school's back. Lots of the private schools are much smaller than the state schools. They have less pupils. But our daughter is in a school with 1,700 children.
It takes them right from nursery to 18.
So I'm not certain how they're going to play that one. We had an email last week which basically kind of explained everything and nothing, and it left many, many, many questions unanswered about how it's going to go. But they're basically saying, I think the school said that they've hired 17 new teachers. There's all kinds of new social distancing measures and hygiene precautions in place. And I think they call it semi-presential, semi-present. And that is like one day there, one day not.
I've
been doing that for years. Yeah, me too. But I did that for my entire school career, actually. But I wasn't a great student. So we still don't know how that's actually going to work. Is she going to be a day on, a day off, a week on, a week off? We don't know.
No, it's getting a little close to the wire, isn't it?
Very close to the wire. And also, it's making all the kids a little bit anxious, I think.
If you've been watching the UK news, actually, a lot of schools went back today and with various different measures that you just described about Spanish schools. And I think a lot of British parents, even this time last week, didn't know. So I think if you're measuring one against the other, actually they seem to be quite similar. You know, no one's quite sure how it's going to work. I suspect they'll probably just kind of start and go, okay, we'll figure it out as we go along.
There's loads of teachers as well that I know are looking forward to being back at school because it was really extremely stressful for them teaching online. It was really hard. But also I think they're quite worried about what's coming. So it's a lot of anxiety and not knowing what's going to happen, like the entire planet at the moment.
Yeah.
But in particular, I'm really feeling for that set of people because we really rely on our teachers and our kids rely on our teachers, their teachers, to kind of guide them through and give them stability. And if the teachers aren't feeling stable...
It's true. And actually, a lost year when you're in your teens is very much different to a lost year in your 30s, isn't it? And there's not much difference between 32 and 35, is there, probably? But the difference between 12 and 15 is big, you know?
But our daughter's not that bothered about going back to school. She's gunning for online school all the way, isn't she?
Quit now, she could. Yeah.
We'll give you an update when we know what's happening.
It is the backbone of the economy, though. It's the same thing in the UK that, you know, it's so important to get people... Sorry, let's do this the other round. I don't know whether it's important to get people back to school. It's important for the economy to get people back to work.
For
and
sure.
If their kids are at home, it's very difficult to get back to work if you have a job that you need to go to an office. You know.
So many parents had to homeschool primary age children. What a nightmare.
Yeah, and not work.
What a nightmare.
I mean, if you're lucky enough to have a job that you can do from home, homeschooling is one thing. You know, you can still earn a living, I guess, and do it. But if you work in a factory or something that needs you to be in work and you can't go there because your kids are at home and they're too young to look after themselves. Nightmare. So,
But that leaves a little bit of time on our hands. Well, should do for lots of people. I mean, like on the Friday after school theoretically goes back, I'm scheduling a spa day.
Right?
Yeah, because the hotel in Soncalieu is having a last minute closing offer for residents. It's £20 for breakfast and spa.
Fantastic. Oh,
do you want to come?
No.
What are we going to do instead?
Not spa. It's your thing. I'll have a walk in the woods and a bacon sandwich.
No, you're not going to go on your bike then?
Something like that. Probably come on a bike, yeah. Bike ride and a bacon sandwich. Coming in less than $20, that one.
Okay, I guess so.
But it does sound like a cracking value. How much is a spa day normally?
I don't know. I don't normally go. I just thought I can afford
probably
that.
Probably more than £20.
Yeah. I guess so. Worried.
Yeah, but bicycles are back, I'm glad to say. Well, bicycles never really went away.
They didn't.
But it's pretty hot unless you have some elite level athlete to cycle in the midst of July and August. And there's quite a few big events coming up, actually. Mallorca, if you don't know, is an absolute cycling paradise. If you are a cyclist, an absolute cycling pain in the
chain
bum
in the
if
arse.
You're not.
my God.
Chains and chains of cyclists, pelotons of cyclists go and clog up the mountain road. And they have every right
so
to be.
So annoying.
This is a big debate. This is a very big debate that happens every year.
Not with us, though. I mean, I totally... No. We're on the same... We agree on this, don't we? That a long, long line of cyclists that makes it impossible to pass them in without... With safely, let's say that. Is really irresponsible, but in groups of, I think, is it four they can go in?
No, actually, there's the law says there's no maximum size. They say,
oh, really?
No, they say you should go two abreast. Actually, the police
say... I thought it was the length of a car or something they could be...
The police say that you should cycle 2 abreast.
And so all of those people... Long?
Well, it's, the reasoning behind it is that it's... If you... Let's say you take... This isn't the maximum... Let's say you have 8 cyclists all in a row. It's very difficult because you're supposed to give them 1.5 meters to go around them. And... A group of 8 cyclists is kind of the length of a lorry, really.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to do that. Whereas if they go 2 abreast, and suddenly they're basically half the length and still about the size of a small car to get past. So that's why the police want you to do it. So next time you're kind of leaning out your window and shouting, "Oi, you're 2 abreast, remember the law would prefer you to do it. Unless the road is very narrow. It also requires cyclists to be aware. You know, if there's a big long queue behind, they say, let them pass. Which is... As a cyclist, I have to say, just common sense.
Here's something that really gets up my nose about cyclists. Why do they think it's okay to cycle on zebra crossings?
Well,
that's
it's not
allowed,
it's
is
not
it?
Allowed.
Cycling on the pavement isn't allowed either. Is it?
Let me...
That's not your cycling proficiency test.
It's complicated. It's not easy because there are... No, you're not allowed to cycle across a zebra crossing and you're not allowed to cycle on the pavement. However... Particularly where we live in the southwest of Mallorca, there's quite a few places that actually double up as footpath and cycleway. So all the way through Palmanova and down through Bendonat, if you know the southwest, along the side of the main road is a footpath and cycle route.
And but they're marked out though, aren't they?
No, they're not separated, no. And you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to point. So
I'm not thinking about that area in particular. I'm thinking about roundabout. And the zebra crossing before the roundabout at the just past the Santa Ponsa windmill on the way to Stombogadeus, all the time people just turn out. You drive away from that roundabout and you end up with a bunch of people cycling in front of you crossing the zebra crossing, and they're not even cycling. They kind of join the road that way. It's just no, guys. It's just dangerous.
As a rule of thumb, and something I've always done, which is. Remember who's the squishiest. It's me.
Yes.
I've always thought that there's no point lying flat on your back with a limb hanging off going, I was in the right.
I was right, you know.
Yeah, look after yourself.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And actually, we can all get along with each other if we just give each other a bit of space. Anyway, look, I was going to talk about cycling season.
Oh, sorry.
I'm defending... the standard rants against cyclists.
You're defending your people.
Mallorca is a bit of a cycling paradise, to say the least. All the big Tour de France teams come here and spend a month or two in the winter. And Team Ineos, Team Sky as was, and all the Olympic teams come here. There's a couple of big races here in the springtime. And we get about 140,000 cyclists in normally the bit between December...
How many?
140,000 cyclists.
Wow.
Between... It's kind of mostly end of January to the end of May.
Yeah.
Which... was wiped out this year because that was absolutely lockdown period. So and they bring it's nowhere near as much business as the summer here, but it's a pretty important chunk of business. There's a lot of people here.
No, there's a lot of people here supporting the cycling business. With like Ottilie up in the north with her cycling business.
They do.
People like Joe from Care for Health. He's a physiotherapist who treats a lot of cyclists.
And also. For the benefit of non-cyclists, keeps a few hotels in these places open in the winter, and importantly, keeps a few flights over. So
that's true.
You know, when people start moaning about the lack of winter flights, actually things like cyclists and hikers and the winter tourists here, if there's enough of them, they can keep some of those routes open in the winter as well, which might be helpful if you want to go back to wherever you come from.
So you've got the 6 points, is it?
Well, we have a couple of cycling events. There's a couple of big cycling events that are scheduled in May, but obviously they ended up getting moved as well because of the virus. There's the Mallorca 312, which is huge. 8,000 people in a good year cycling a range of distances, but the maximum is 312 kilometres.
So hence the name.
The Mallorca 312.
Why is it 312, though? Why not 325?
Well, it was started by a bunch of mates, Mallorquian cycling mates based in Arta. And the first event was probably about maybe 8 years ago now. 200 riders, and they did a circumference of Mallorca, and that just came in at 312 kilometres.
Really?
Yeah.
So okay.
And it's so from wherever they, well, it doesn't really matter where you start if you're doing a circle, does it?
No.
You go all the way down the mountains on the Tramontana coast, and then big loop round. So a loop of Mallorca with the roads they used was 312. Now, when it got to around 8,000 riders, it became impractical to use that old the original route because it goes through Parma and basically stops the island. So now they route it just through the mountains. It's actually more picturesque.
You've done it, haven't you?
I've done not 312.
But you've done you've done the last one year. In between the half and the whole way around.
I did 225.
You crazy boy.
It was a bit, actually. Yeah, it was quite. It took me about 13 or 14 hours.
Did your bum hurt afterwards?
Yes. I mean, if I'd have sat on a bike for 14 hours.
Of course it did, Vicky.
And not gone anywhere. Yeah. It's about 4,000.
Were you really hungry?
No, I just ate constantly. You have to, if you ever get into proper long distance cycling, especially if it's over mountains, you just absolutely, you can't eat enough.
But you don't eat those gel things, do you?
No. No.
Although I did get you some.
I've got them, keep them in the pocket.
Don't they make people's tummies go a bit funny? It's better to eat real food, isn't it?
It's kind of, the gels are immediate carbohydrates.
Sugar hit.
And glucose. So if you start to black out a bit as you're going up a mountain, you wham one of those and you're all right. Like literally a second later.
Isn't glucose just a posh word for sugar?
I think it's a complicated sugar. I don't know very much about it. But I'd much rather have a pocket full of flapjacks.
Yeah, me too.
So that 312 has been postponed until the 10th of October, but then that looks very unlikely as well. So that looks like that might either cancel or be much.
But why are they cancelling? Because of the
hotels?
Because
there's too many people, really. Well, they're not cancelling, I should say. They are planning to go ahead with it, but so many of the riders come from overseas to take part that their hotels have cancelled, their flights have cancelled. There's potential restrictions around having that many riders in one place, as you can probably understand. So it's it probably will go ahead, probably, but with not very many people in it.
Mm. Are you going to do it?
No.
You're not ready, are you?
No, I'm not ready, but I just don't.
You don't fancy it?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be able to go and ride those roads whenever I want to, and the thought of standing in close proximity to people who sweat and breathe heavily.
Yeah.
however many masks or tests or whatever they want to do, it just seems like a bit of a risk, really, that I'm not that bothered. You might feel differently, but I'm just thinking I don't need that extra bit of risk.
But the other one you're doing?
The 6 Points Mallorca, which I'm helping organise, actually.
Like a good boy.
6 Points Challenges. It's a way smaller
doing
event. It's lovely. It's, it's the fourth year that's run, and or it should be the fourth. There's been three before. We were supposed to run that in May as well. That's a 3-day jaunt. It's lovely, actually. So we get around.
Well, you're going to be away for 3 days.
Yeah, last year.
When?
4th of October.
Oh, woohoo. I don't know what you can do.
Don't want to know. We've got about 70 riders last year. We started from Santa Ponsa. And it's called the 6 Points because you visit the six cardinal, the four cardinal points, so north, south, east and west, the highest and the lowest points. So really what
on
that,
the island.
Yeah, exactly. What that translates into is a like the old 312 route. It basically go around the entire circumference of Mallorca. So we got
just not as intense.
No,
because you're not trying to do it in 14 hours.
Oh god no. First day,
it's a bit more leisurely.
Start in Santa Ponsa and go to the beautiful San Telmo just around the corner from us.
Have a bun.
Then cycle the entire length of the Tramontana, which is hard work.
That's about 160
odd kilometres and it's mountains the whole way. There's no flat. Ooh, lots.
Really? Ooh, lots. Until when will you be cycling on that day? If you started at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning.
I think we started about 8 in Santa Ponsa and probably got there about 6 o'clock.
Oh.
Something like that.
That's a hell of a day.
And it's proper hills. Actually, by the time you get to Soyer, you're already a little bit knackered. And then you've got to climb the Puig Mayor, which takes you to the highest point that you can get to by road on the island, or at least open road. And that's 14 kilometres uphill. For 14 kilometres.
Why are you doing it?
I don't remember.
Then what happens on the next day?
Then we go to Cap Formentor, which is to the lighthouse of Cap Formentor, which is unbelievably beautiful. That's the most northerly point. And then ride around. I know why I'm telling you this. We're not doing it this way this year. But then we ride around to Cala Richarda, which is the lighthouse up there. That's the furthest east point. And then we stopped in Cala Mayor, which is one of the resorts on the east coast. Next day, final day, it was quite a long day.
Do the flat day.
Yeah,
it?
That's mostly flat. You go to Sesalinas, which is the lighthouse.
Lovely.
At the bottom there, and that's the most southerly point.
Mm.
And then ride back towards Yukmayor Palmer that way, and then finish up in Santa Ponza for a beer.
Back where you started.
Exactly.
And you do it for charity, no?
Do it for two charities, actually. It's this year it's two charities. Before, we were just writing for Azdika, which is a Calvia-based charity that looks after learning disabled grown-ups and their families.
Good for you.
Really small charity.
They're nice people.
Yeah, and the money that the 6 points raises, when you join the 6 points, you part of your subscription goes as a donation, and they encourage you to raise a bit as well, tapping your mates up for a tenner here or a tenner there. And so that really helps out. And the other one is Save the Med. This year, Brian, who organises the 6 points, has tried to really push more of an environmental slant on it. He's got a kit supplier. So when you get a souvenir cycling jersey, which is made of recycled plastic taken from the sea.
Go on, Brian.
Yeah.
That's good.
And we've got, I think he's managed to secure some electric cars as support vehicles.
Wow.
He's gone cap in hand to Renault in Palmer and said, give us a couple of those for a few days. And yeah, so money is also going to help save
That's
the Med,
great.
Which is a bunch of marine biologists and divers and keen amateur naturalists.
Spreading awareness.
Yeah, it's mostly about marine conservation and this rather
clean-ups.
Beautiful part of the world. Yeah,
I'd like to organise beach cleanups this winter.
Beach cleans, they go and drag old
You'd
nets.
You'd be really surprised how much microplastic is in the beach.
Mm.
It's awful.
So anyway.
How much of it ends up in fish.
It's true. Let me finish this bit.
Sorry.
So that's the 6 points. It's going ahead this year. Probably quite small. Again, we're going to have a problem of trying to get overseas riders here. So it might be about sort of 30 to 50 riders.
So people from the island could join in.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's you need to... If you haven't already got the bike out of the shed, it's probably a bit too late to start. But if you're halfway fit, then please come and join us. It's in a month. And
are you halfway fit?
I should be all right when we get there. We have a couple of different groups of different abilities. So there's the ones who will really race ahead, and then there's some groups. Hey,
which group are you in?
I don't know yet. We'll find out.
Are you in the skinny boys group, or are you in the dad's team?
Oh gosh, no, I'm definitely not in the skinny boys team.
You're in the dad's team.
There's
Are you in the retired golfers?
I think
team?
We'll find out as I roll out of Santa Ponza. Figure out exactly how I am, but yeah. So if you fancy joining us, then please do. It's but don't hang around because we're trying to get this book now. So join 6 points Mallorca. Look them up on their website and Facebook. We'll link those in the show notes here. And sign up. So you'll need to make a donation, which will get you a jersey and
a
fundraising kit and an entry. And
then
book the hotels.
Raise some money.
It'd be lovely. It's a real social event and it's gorgeous. So
it's for super good causes.
It is. And that is a month.
That really benefit the people that live here and the environment as well.
Exactly. And it's nice. And that is, I will just check.
And you've made some nice friends through this gang of people.
I have, actually, yeah. It's good, actually. It's a great networking job, actually, as well.
Okay.
So this will be, just talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I find October.
Oh, here we go. Google Calendar's coming out. I would have thought you'd had it tattooed on your arm by now, the amount of conversations you've had.
Second, third, and fourth of October.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not wrong.
So when's the 312 then? Because you said that was the
10th.
Oh, right. It's the following week.
Exactly.
Your bum would have recovered by then. You could do it.
As mentioned before,
I don't
fancy hanging out with people who might have a virus. So that's cycling season.
But you know what's looming apart from cycling? It's happening, even though it's like suddenly not the thing that anyone wants to talk about any longer.
The only
it's
good
the
thing.
B-word.
The
it's
only
the
good thing about the virus was people stopped talking about the B word.
Oh my God, the B word. I mean, like, what was that really brilliant podcast that we were listening to? Brexit Cast.
No, Brexit Cast.
Are they still going?
It's called Newscast. This is a BBC one. It's lovely, actually. It's great. It's a
They're
more
so good. You're
daily.
Such fanboy. You fanboyed them so hard.
I think they're good.
You love them.
So, yeah.
And I wish it used to be like, talk to me about Brexit so I can go to sleep. Because it's such a boring subject.
Please.
But I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed such a large increase in people joining Facebook groups that are based in Mallorca, asking about how can they move to the island, how can they move to the island. And I'm sure it's all to do with Brexit and people wanted to make a last minute dash out of the UK.
I think it's partially Brexit. I think partially it's virus. People thinking,
true,
I don't really want to live in a crowded city anymore. And partly the rise in working from home. People are very quickly realising they don't need to live too close to their office. But
that's
anymore.
The thing I wanted to say about working from home, actually, because I also noticed in a lot of these people's sort of hello, how are you, I want to move to Mallorca kind of posts, that a lot of them are thinking that they're going to just be able to come here and get a job. And I've got to say, that might be a bit difficult unless you're fluent in Spanish.
I have to say that's difficult in any year, but right now, even people with jobs are wondering how they're going to get a job.
Yeah, I mean, the economic situation here is going to be pretty rocky.
Yes.
It's already very difficult for a lot of people, but now the wave is going to hit through loads of other industries. And so if you're thinking about coming to the island, I recommend that you think about how you might be able to earn your living online or... maybe you can work remotely for the company that you're already working
Keep
for.
Your job in UK or Germany or wherever you're listening to this, but come here and have a word with your boss.
Because I think, and this is something we must find out about tax status and everything, I think there's like a time limit where you can do it, but it might tide you over in the bit between getting here and next, whenever the economy starts to recover.
And get on with it as well, actually. We are...
Crack on.
And first week of September, and you've got until the end of the year, really. So September, October, November, December.
I mean, Mallorca's not going to fall into the sea or anything after that. It's just that it's going to be harder because you need to have money in the bank.
If you're a UK passport holder or UK citizen, it is going to get more difficult. It's not going to be impossible. And it would be very possible to do it, but it'll just be more difficult than it is right now. Particularly as it seems, reading the news today, that Britain is almost certainly heading for no kind of deal.
Surprise, surprise.
Staring us down for a long time. But Michel Barnier, the chief negotiator of the European Union, said, we've got a few weeks if you want to sort this out, if you want a deal by the end of the year. And a lot of mood music coming out of the government was saying, well, it seems to be going for no deal. So
why? How does it benefit them to have no deal?
This is not the time or the place. It's not
really?
It's, it's an endlessly complicated subject.
So we can talk about it another one.
Yeah, so anyway, if you are thinking about moving here, and why wouldn't you? You should.
Why wouldn't you?
You should have done it years ago. Have a word with your boss and take lots and lots and lots and lots of advice.
Yeah.
And talk to people like Becky at Mallorca Solutions.
Us.
Scroll through our previous podcasts.
Talk to
and,
Becky.
And about three episodes ago, maybe episode four, something like that, was an interview with Becky.
Well remembered. Well done.
That was a fluke.
Also, I meant to tell you, I'm going to do an interview with Bill Webb soon. I'm going to just set it up. And he's the guy who moves people backwards and forwards from the island. One of the guys. He runs a moving company. And I think we'll also find a tax advisor who can give us an idea about what people should be looking out for when they move as well.
We should listen to them as well, shouldn't we?
Anyway, that's it. That's it for us, I think, this time.
I think we're done for now. Yes. So thank you for joining us. If you like to ask us a question, you can email us on insert email address here.
It's Mallorca with a J, Mallorca with a double L, podcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Mallorca Mallorca. There she is.
Antonelli's put an appearance.
Steam-powered Antonelli has arrived. I'm surprised that she's finding it hot, though, because the temperature's a good 5 degrees less than it was.
She just likes doing it.
That's panting and making a noise.
Maybe she's making dirty phone calls in the corner.
Well, anyway, and Instagram, we are Mallorca Mallorca Podcast. And did you do anything with the Twitter yet?
What is that?
Ollie.
No, I will probably soon, definitely.
It's the same name, Mallorca Mallorca. Okay. Just look around for us. By the way, the turtle episode is going to be a separate episode to this because it's pretty long. And I'm going to do a little intro with that. GG with that one.
Cool.
And yeah.
If you feel like leaving us a review, please make it a nice one.
Yeah.
Tell your friends and lots of
share us.
Lots of clicky things. Click anything that you can find.
Share us. Download us. Share us. You know, if you want. It's okay. We're not fussed, really. We just like talking.
There we go. I think that's it. We'll see you next time for the Mallorca Mallorca podcast, which will be episode 8 about turtles.
8 or 7.8.
7 point something.
I don't know. I haven't worked out the numbering system yet.
Yeah. See you next time.
Ta-ra. Adios. Hasta pronto.
Bye.
Mallorca, 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 Mallorca.